Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
I die. It's all Guru all the time.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
It is this week.
Yes,
you're holding it down.
I owe you an apology. I got to be better.
For what?
I go out in the kitchen, and so do you. And I get my second help, my second cup of coffee, French vanilla.
Yeah, and Ken wasn't hogging the machine.
Okay.
It was great.
And you bring out this out of the fridge, plastic white bag, Kenny.
Careful.
Goes, my better half made this for me last night. And it was a salad filled with chicken, beautiful chicken, nice greens, everything. And I looked at it and said, can I have a piece of chicken? And you said, take as much as you want. Kenny, I took one. I feel bad, man. But it looked so good.
Of course, you wanted some chicken. It's not.
You took a piece of chicken from a salad?
Yeah.
It
was a big piece of chicken.
A big piece.
It looked great.
Wow.
Whoever put that, give her, man.
Well, I don't know. Does that make me weird that I offered him some food?
No, I'm weird for asking.
Oh, no. I think it's perfectly normal.
I mean, hungry. If that's the relationship you guys have, I have no problem with it.
He told me to take more. I was all, do I take?
Yeah, we shared just about everything.
From a salad, it's kind of weird, but hey, whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
Go Giants!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
You're making me dig in even more. By the way, so last night when Devers hit that home run, the one thing that was Bonzian, if you want to say, it was the fact that he kind of swung out of his shoes.
It like slid Bonds like used Michael to do Jackson that. Across the plate. Like, oh, I got it.
When Bonds used to turn on pitches, like his back foot would end up almost on the plate because he gets right on top of the dish, and he's got that short bat with just godlike hand speed, and his back foot would spin out so hard that he would just end up on top of the plate. That was a little.
Am I nitpicking if I? It hit the arcade.
I was going to say, you got to get to the water if you're going to be Bonds.
There we go. You said it. That's all. So I was like, it wasn't a splash.
There's 110 splash hits now, I think. Bonds got about 90 of them.
There's a joke in there for Norm. He says there's a reason Bonds has 90. Oh. So I'm like, pops, lay off. He loves Barry, but Barry was, he's incredible, man.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, he is.
Will they find their next one, or is Bryce it?
They'll never find a Barry Bonds.
I got you.
Won four straight MVPs and hit 73 home runs. That guy got walked intentionally 131 times in a season.
Yeah.
You will never see another player like that.
Just incredible, man.
Ever. Oh, my God.
And we got to see him in one World Series. Unfortunately, Dusty jinxed it.
You can't put that on Dusty.
Well, you don't give Russ Ortiz the ball when the game's not over. That was when that went to game seven, I said, it's over. Angels won in heaven. Don't even show, man. Dude, I love me some Dust.
It was game six.
But the psychological warfare was over, that they blew that in that fashion. Game seven was over before first
pick. No, I'm sorry. It's like when people kill Bill Buckner, it's like you still had a chance to win game seven. You can still win the World Series. It wasn't over.
No, but that's like the Draymond. Yes, you feel that. It's a wrap. Gosh.
Oh, so the Warriors are going to lose game seven because Draymond got suspended in game six?
No, I don't want to hear how great he was in a game that if had you not done what you did.
No, he was great in the series, though.
Cavs were fighting.
Okay, what about...
Andy was on the staff. They were in fighting. It was over.
Who's my guy? Who's my guy in Chicago? The fan. Steve Bartman.
Oh, I'll hug that dude if I see him.
So why do you hug him, but you don't hug Bill Buckner?
It wasn't his fault.
Wasn't his fault.
Alou wasn't going to catch that ball.
You still could have gone out and won the next game. Get off Dusty.
But what happened to him? Him, Chet Bartman? You see that 30 for 30?
Yeah, it's called catching
I
hell.
I damn near cried.
You didn't cry.
Evan, they came to the house. They were looking for him.
Yeah, I know. You had to go into protective
I'm
custody.
I'm not laughing. You are.
For witness protection. I'm laughing in hindsight. I seriously hope he's doing a lot better. That city of Chicago, was that man a debt?
Man.
All he'd do is go for a foul ball. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Getting Zip for Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru John. So let's get this segment started with Irving. Irving's in Berkeley. What's up, Irv? How you doing?
Hi, I was calling. I just wanted to, you know, everybody keeps saying that the Rams are so far ahead of the 49ers in Seattle. But the 49ers beat those two teams last year, and then we know what happened later on in the season. So what's the big difference from last year's team to this year's team that where the 49ers couldn't compete with them?
Well,
lost all pros. We lost all pros and pro bowlers, and we beat those guys with the same players that they had when we were healthy.
I got you. Yeah. No, appreciate the call.
And I got to be careful. I was just going to jump in and tell Irv why I'm so, or you can sense the trepidation about the Seattle matchup with the Niners, is the two meetings they had with everything on the line. One was to go home in the offs. We saw that played out. That's still weird to see a kind of Kyle Shanahan offense dominated like Seattle did in the playoffs. And then they did the same thing just a couple weeks before at home for the number one seed. But to Irv's point, yeah, you didn't have Kittle. You didn't have Mike Evans. You didn't have Stribling. So maybe I need to slow my Jets, Evan, and watch it play out their first game against Seattle. But on the flip side of that, we out the chute, you get the Rams with their new toys in the secondary and D-line.
But if there's anything we learned last year, and I'm not trying to downplay week one, it's going to be big. And if the Niners win or lose, we'll obviously have our reactions to it. But again, I bring up week one of last year because the 49ers went into Seattle and beat what ended up becoming the Super Bowl champions.
But you understand.
That was a different Seattle team. And I understand why people are like, well, that was week one.
Right. But the Rams are going to be good, whatever they are, week one in Melbourne, and they're going to be good at the end. You know, that's how talented they are.
Well, we don't know they're going to be good at the end. Maybe Myles Garrett gets hurt the way that Nick Bosa did. Maybe Trent McDuffie goes down the way that Fred Warner did. Maybe Matthew Stafford misses some games the way that Brock Purdy did.
Well, to that point, and this is hashtag random, guys, I'm telling you, we all laughed at McVay and that drafting of Ty Simpson when they did it, why they did it. And I'm starting to think what they got, and they got a lot at their disposal offensively and defensively. Ty Simpson, I see what Brock Purdy is with the Jedi Master Kyle. We saw what Jimmy was. I'm just saying, I thought the Rams season was over if Stafford went down. I know it's preseason, but I'm just talking about who Ty Simpson is as a quarterback with the tutelage of McVay. I'm like, the Rams, Evan, might have action if something were to happen to Stafford with Ty. I said it.
Do you think that Sean McVay is talking about Ty Simpson the same way that Kyle Shanahan's talking about DeJuan Stribling?
I'll give you that, no doubt. But they saw something to draft.
No, I think he's being more complimentary.
Dude, but they're different guys.
Even though McVay didn't seem very excited about the pick.
I'm just telling you, I like Ty.
Like, in a way, it makes more sense to me why McVay wouldn't be juiced about Simpson lighting up preseason football, because he seemed kind of pissed that they took him in the first place. Meanwhile,
you're saying that he wasn't on board.
Well, meanwhile, Kyle Shanahan, who has, you know, essentially control of the roster and is a large factor in who the Niners draft, is not that excited about DeJuan Stribling.
But see, now you're moving me toward the other side. We got to be careful, E. He drafted him. That supersedes any verbal compliment he could give him or not give him. The bottom line is they saw his skill set and said you could fit in. And with the injury to Pearsall, now he's going to get more of the pie. And hopefully he can answer the bell. But I guess at the end of the day, E, I'm like, Kyle's just tough love on a rookie. I ain't going to kid, you know.
Well, no,
I
think you're right that the biggest compliment is the draft selection.
No doubt.
But that's why it stands out to me, because Sean McVay was in the war room wondering, it felt like he was wondering why we took a quarterback. You only get so many first round picks, you just traded most of them away for McDuffie and Garrett. It's not like you're going to get a crack to get a dude in the first round for some time.
Yeah.
And you took it on a position, spent it on a position that is not a need right now.
No.
But back to the Australia game, like, let me ask you this.
I can't wait.
Well, you're going to have to, about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Would it shock you if the Niners beat the Rams week one?
It would not. But now, Evan, I got to ask you, is Bosa playing?
No.
Then it would shock me because I feel like the Rams are going to be able to do – remember, they were up 21-0 that second game of the series last year here at, you know, at Levi's, 21-7, something to that degree. It got 21-0 early. But now I just feel like they're enhanced on both sides of the ball. And if you're telling me Bosa's not there and we're expecting Raheem Morris and that new defense out the chute to be able to keep up with that Ram offense, I could be totally wrong. I'm just sharing, giving you my answer. You asked me a question. So if there's no Bosa, hell yes, I would be shocked, Evan. You got to make it dirty and muddy on Stafford, and you got to get happy feet. But if you get no pressure on him, man.
Well, I'm looking at Thursday night, week 5, 2025. Luke Gifford, Alfred Collins, Sam Okwuonu, Jordan Elliott, Kalia Davis, and Yetur Gross-Matos. Those are the guys getting after the quarterback last year when they beat the Rams. So
Rams almost scored 40 points, but I got you.
Oh, you're talking about the second beat.
Yeah,
I'm talking about when the Niners beat them.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about when they beat them 26-23 in overtime. That's my point is I think if the Niners are going to get the Rams, it would have to be early in the year. That's just the way that I'm looking at things.
But how's this O-line going to hold up? Now I'm going on the other side of the ball. Myles Garrett, you got studs, you know, in the secondary now. And the Rams were already a good team, a couple plays away from a Super Bowl. So, hey – I'll throw it back at you. Your question. Would you be shocked if they beat them?
No, I wouldn't.
And is because when it is, you're more likely to say anything could happen because it's week one?
Yeah, I think because it's early, the Niners have as good of a shot as any. Mm. They're going to be, you know, most of the guys will be as healthy as they'll be all year because you're going into the season fresh.
Interesting.
I know they can get more guys back, particularly Nick Bosa and maybe George Kittle throughout the year. But it wasn't as if the Rams didn't have a quality pass rush last year. They didn't have any player as individually great as Myles Garrett, but the player they traded, Jarrett Verse, damn good player.
Yes, he is.
Byron Young is still there. He gets after the quarterback. Kobe Turner and Braden Fisk is also a quality edge rusher for that. Like they had a pretty good defensive line. They got better.
They got a lot better.
But in that game, they only gave up one sack. The Niners did.
Yeah.
So clearly, they're going to. I think the Niners can go win that football game. And I think that this idea of if the Niners are healthy, how long are we going to play that game for? Because I still think that even if Nick Bosa doesn't play, they can win that football game. They can beat Los Angeles.
Wow, E. I don't see it. And I hear what you're saying, and I'm sitting here whispering sweet nothings about what they did last year with all those injuries and without Bosa. But, man, I just think of the – not feud, the rivalry that is. I don't care. I don't even need to hear from McVay and Kyle. And I know they're cool. But the bottom line is there's so many similarities. But this is a division game. You want to get off to a good start. And I know it's only one game. And I'm not saying the loser's out the playoffs by any stretch. But if you tell me, do I think right now the best team in the NFL is the Los Angeles Rams, and I'm being real and fair, I think they're better than Seattle with the additions that they made. I just can't unsee it. So, Evan, I can't wait for Thursday. I'll have my popcorn if they can pull this off. But I just don't feel like on the Rams side of the ball, and I haven't watched much of their preseason or know their injury situation, but I don't feel like, to Steve Weiss's point from the NFL Network that joined us at 11 o'clock, I don't feel like we're saying if Myles Garrett is going to play, if Stafford's going to play. It's like – that's assumed. But here we got three or four questions on good players that I think would have an impact on the game if they were to play, and you miss that impact if they don't.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. So that's interesting because what I took from Steve Weiss was he was more worried about the depth behind the big boys. You know, I think he...
And I get that.
From what I interpreted, he was saying that the star power of the Niners is as equal or close to the star power of the Rams. But behind those guys, the Niners are not in the class of Los Angeles or Seattle.
No doubt. But even if we just stay at the star power for a minute and talk about the receiving core, And again, your boy over here, and it sounds like you are too. I'm excited about Stribling. I love me some Mike Evans, but I'm looking at that receiver core of the Rams, and that's hell on a secondary.
Well, yeah, because you got Puka Nacua, who's arguably the best guy on the field.
Okay,
there. He might be one of the best receivers. He might be the best receiver in the NFL.
Man.
I know he wasn't last year, but... And it doesn't look like he's going anywhere, by the way.
He talked about his diet. He eats in and out. He just eats what he wants. You called him Ocho Cinco because Chad said, that's why y'all getting hurt. You eat all the, you know, all the drinks and all that rabbit food with the salad. I eat what I want.
Well, okay, so real quickly, because there's a lot of dietitians, or, you know, TikTok, Instagram, food experts.
Okay.
Why is Chad Ochocinco's strategy of eating crap so that his body has to adjust to it any less valid?
I love the thought.
I'm just saying, if flax seeds are going to make you smarter, then why can't McDonald's?
Yeah, I got you. And then you always hear the body needs carbs so it can burn. It can be bad carbs, but I mean that dude's body was a temple. Ochocinco.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he didn't get hurt like these guys are getting hurt now.
And there's probably a lot of licensed people who actually know what they're talking about. They're saying, you're an absolute idiot, Evan.
I know you don't partake. I haven't seen you. But if I say it, rank your number one hamburger chain or joint, who's number one on your list? It's Wendy's for me.
Oh, this.
The double baconator at Wendy's is the best. In and out. I've had a habit. I've done it all. From here to Texas to where. Wendy's. Patties are the best hamburger going.
They're in squares.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of throws me off a little bit.
Baconator.
So this is a tough question because I am of the belief that when it comes to fast food chains, the West Coast, they just don't have it. The best burger in the country belongs to Culver's.
Where is that?
It's a Midwest chain. When I lived in North Dakota and Minnesota, Culver's stands above the rest.
Right.
All must answer to Culver's. Have a burger, come back to me.
People say Wendy's kangaroo meat. Stop it. It's the best patty going.
That's pretty
Kenny,
good.
Kenny, real quick, your number one burger place?
I mean,
ain't In-N-Out no more for me.
No, In-N-Out's fine. I like the Habit. If we're gonna In-N-Out's the McDonald's of California, Habit is the Burger King.
Give me
like
some grilled onions on a nice Habit burger, but Wendy's. Oh my God!
You're about to unlock Pandora's box. Let's go to the East Bay, San Francisco. We'll stay in San Francisco and talk to East Bay Jay. What's up, Jay?
Jay,
how you doing? East Bay Jay.
I'm well, man. Hey, good. This is the guy that seen you on that street on First.
Oh yeah, where you heard the brakes.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I had no side mirror, so I was just listening to Snoop Dogg trying to stay focused, so I didn't get pulled over. If I would have heard you, I would have stopped and hollered at you, baby.
Hey, dap me up next time I see you, baby.
All day.
Hey. So you was talking. I remember when this Jed thing came out. You was talking about You know, it may even be good cred amongst the people. Like, oh, man, he's getting a piece. You know what I'm saying? But does this feel the same when he's going for a guy?
Yeah. And we had a caller call in and say his son was called him from school. Remember that? Said, Jed's one of us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Careful. So yeah. All right. Well, didn't really appreciate that.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah. Just.
And that had to be the guy I saw.
Well,
he sent me something on Instagram. It was like, I called your name five times. You were listening to the homies can't have none. I'm like, hey, whoa.
Oh, I thought he said that he couldn't hear you over the breaks.
Oh, no. Breaks are fine. But I had the music.
I know there was a day one day where you came to pick me up and it was like, the caddy's coming. Sorry.
Your last ride. It's over. That's it. You can walk to the ship. Wow.
No, actually.
You wanted to get that out there.
No,
I say it enough.
It isn't the Cadillac. It's whoever you're on the phone with this morning is what's bugging me. Early, what's bugging you on a Wednesday?
I need new car insurance company.
Whoever you were talking to is pissing me off because
it
took you about 38 minutes just to get on the phone.
That was Susan. That was a version of Susan.
Well, it was a different Susan.
I can't hear you. Will you say it again? I can't hear you.
I talked to Susan.
Susan doesn't exist.
Guru was explaining. I'll never forget your birthday now, by the way. You said it 17 times because you were. They asked you, all right, what's your date of birth? And you're like,
Malcolm X. Yeah.
And you said it, and the response from the AI machine was, we can't understand you. And finally, Goo goes, umpteen day, 19 day. You know, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, man, I got to get out of here. It's about time for the show.
Man, I need new insurance.
Thank you, 707. The Culver's Butter Burger, absolutely fire. Thank you. Someone who's experienced part of this country.
We wanted more of a popular opinion. You know, one we'd be out here on the West Coast, we have experience.
Well, if you lived in Minneapolis, you would know that Culver's is absolutely the bomb.
Your burger, real quick.
Fine. What do you want to go to?
Your burger spot in the city.
In the city?
Yeah. Like, where do you go? Like, ooh, let's go get a burger.
How about we take a call and I'll come back to it. Maybe even get to it on the other side because we got to hit a break in a few minutes. But I want to make sure we get to Frankie Eyelashes in San Rafael. What's up, Frank?
Frankie Eyelashes.
What's happening?
I'm okay. I'm doing good until I heard you saying that the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams are better than the Niners. That kind of blew me away.
Oh, boy.
I don't agree with the Rams in Seattle being better than the 49ers. The 49ers loaded up on Nate Hobbs, Mike Evans. They loaded up on a bunch of players. They're going to be a scoring frenzy. And this is the year, everyone. This is the year they get that ring.
Wow.
They get that ring. Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I don't hate McKay because he traded one of my dear friends' son to Detroit. You know who that is, Jared Goff. I dislike his arrogance, and I don't like, what's that quarterback's name? I don't even know. Stafford,
yeah.
He watched the lady. Yeah, he's a piece of he's a pile. He watched the lady reporter fall off the.
We get him today.
I know he texted. What is going on with these calls? Himself,
man,
honestly.
He started something, man. That was cap related. But, man.
This is like 2016 energy coming back all over again.
He said the score is going to be the frenzy, man.
You asked my favorite burger in the city. I had it recently for the first time. It's Ganem's Market in Potrero Hill. I know it's kind of an off-beaten pass place.
They
make an incredible cheeseburger. They do. It's actually a Royale with cheese.
Wow.
Shout out Pulp Fiction. It's really good.
Hey,
anyways, that's mine.
What about Sam's over on near Broadway? Oh. Isn't that the place that Anthony Bourdain went to?
The one that we go to?
Yeah.
We're known
in there. Yeah, Mayor Brown. That's our guy.
Yeah. Do you remember the story? Goo walked up to Mayor Brown to introduce himself in front of me and Siney. Said, hey, Mayor, glad to meet you. I'm Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 The Game. We have a show from 10 to 2. And Mayor Brown looks at him and says, 10 to 2.
Puts his arm on my shoulder first.
That's a long shift.
Oh, we all laughed like, damn, the mayor.
Oh, that was timeless. I'm not going to forget that.
Oh, man.
All right, 888-957-957. If you feel like Frankie Eyelashes, call in without the vulgarity. We'll take your call. Niners, Rams, Seahawks, rank them. And we also got to get back into this wide receiver room thing.
And we got, what about the new Warrior edition? We didn't make no move, Jordan Yang.
Iowa State, Brock Purdy University.
If this was 5 years ago, I'd be excited, but yeah.
He shot 40% last year. All right, our Red and Gold Summit is set for Thursday, September 3rd. That's next week. All the hosts, morning, midday, afternoon, and Brian Baldinger will be at Jackson Pleasant Hill from 4 to 6 p.m. live. There's great food, great drinks, and your chance to win autographed items and much more. Wilder and Dibs get us started at 2 o'clock. And then the summit commences at 4, 2 hours, 4 to 6. It's all brought to you by Ashby Lumber, Humboldt, Sawmill, Redwood Products, Evan Ginnings, Invermat Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Back after this on Stein & Goo.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
High drive to right. It is out of here. Number 28. And that is
one that if that doesn't remind you of Barry Bonds, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it sure did.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Frug and Kipe on the call, NBC Sports Bay Area. I know why he said it. Did you know that that was Rafael Devers' 16th home run of the season at Oracle Park? The last person to hit that many home runs at home in a single season was Barry Bonds.
Mm. But that's not...
That's why I did it.
I'm irritated, Evan.
Mm. What?
We were talking about Ayers and Buckner earlier. Open the phone because I don't have it open during the show because I'm focused on you.
Okay.
Our main man, 49er Frankie. Buckner's air would not make it a wrap. The game was tied. I knew that. It still was a blunder and gave the momentum to the Red Sox. Stop.
No, I know, but it's like the... It's not exactly the same thing, but okay, what's the most recent one that 49ers fans bring up? McCaffrey putting the ball in the turf in the Super Bowl.
I thought you were going to say Tart dropping the interception in the NFC Championship game where they would went to another Super Bowl.
That was a pretty big one, too.
And McVay wouldn't have had his.
Well, they were up 17-14 in that situation.
Dude, that would have been it.
9.5 left in the fourth quarter. You still would have had to go down and score. I mean, if they go 3-and-out, the Rams score and go on and win the game the same way they did. The other one was,
where are you going?
Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders.
I let that go. Steiny hangs on
Emmanuel
to that.
Emmanuel Sanders.
I flushed that out the system.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah. Brock Purdy overthrows Stribling this year against the Rams. It'll come right back up.
Man, we are so close to football, man. And we got a game Wednesday. Remember that? Rematch the Super Bowl, right? Wednesday before the Thursday that the Niners play. Yeah,
Seattle and New England.
Yeah,
the Super Bowl rematch.
That blew me away. Wow.
Well, the Super Bowl wasn't much of a game.
On Wednesday and Thursday before Sunday. And then college Saturday.
The Thursday.
Relationships are in trouble. Get it in now.
You know when relationships will be in trouble.
How serious.
Is Super Bowl Sunday 2027. Now, if you know,
what am
you
I
know.
Missing?
If you have someone in your life that is committed to you and your sports fandom.
Okay.
No, your NFL fandom. You already know that Super Bowl Sunday is Valentine's Day.
Yeah, for you youngins. Oh, geez.
If you know, you know. All right.
That's a good pulley.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've been made aware.
You're stressing already.
I've been made aware. All right. So this is what we were talking about earlier with Steve Wyche. NFL Network joined us, talk about a bunch of things. Check it out in the Odyssey app. Colin Kaepernick, the 10-year anniversary, as well as these 49ers. And the key word, which is two letters, which is they've been the two letters hanging over the Niners season, are if. And this is what he believes the Niners can do if they're healthy.
Well, and it's always the caveat, right? It's always an asterisk. If they remain healthy, they're going to be in the Super Bowl contention. The conversation around them is who gets out of this brutal NFC West. I mean, you talked about a stacked division with the Rams and the Seahawks, you know, coming in with these all-star rosters, and the 49ers are right there. The bigger difference is even though the Rams have some age on them, you know, the 49ers have age and players who suffered injuries with that age, the Boses, the Kittles, you know, the Warners. Dre Greenlaw is coming off of an injury, but he seems fresh. You know, can Trent Williams continue to be as dominant? There's no reason to doubt that he couldn't. I mean, but you just look at some of the numbers there and people can draw one and two. But I think if they stay healthy, they'll be right there.
You said it. If.
But I think that's what makes me excited and why I want Jean Stribling to be good for this team. And it's because when I hear Steve Wyche say the biggest gap between the Niners and the Seahawks and the Rams is not necessarily the stars that they have. It's the guys behind them that are going to have to play if and when the Niners get hurt, which happens in football.
But what about last year when the Niners did it with their second and third and fourth and fifth at times to win 12 games? That doesn't give you any confidence?
Well, the gap was 41-7 in the NFC division round. That was the gap.
Hello.
So if the stars are healthy, then that gap is closed. But what Stribling gives me excitement about is that if by the end of this year, Stribling is a dude or looks like one, that to me is how I would measure the gap being closed between LA, Seattle, and then San Francisco, because the thing that separates the three teams to me, and namely the Niners out of the top two, would be their young players and their depth, is that they don't have playmakers behind their stars, whereas the Rams, along with the Seahawks, do, in my opinion. That's
and,
what I think.
No, I'm not mad at that, but I guess my worry is not even what's behind the stars, because that doesn't give me much confidence, but you're telling me either you don't know or you're concerned from a Niner standpoint who's behind him in regard to the depth. But if you're telling me Bosa's not going to make it, Warner doesn't look like, you know, 54 that we know and love, and I don't expect that to be the case. But even Kittle, if they're going to have to deal with other stuff than just their opponent trying to remain healthy, and we're getting, we'll never know, Evan, 70% of the version of themselves, then we're going to be, that's going to have an impact on the outcome of a game, said game. So to me, I just give the Niners, and you're right, they're thin right now. And to some first-year, second-year dudes pop, continue to pop. But the bottom line is, if guys go down from the Niners, for the Niners, that have just come off being injured, and we're talking about just icons of the team, and the, again, Kittles, the Bosas, the Warners, then I'm like, man, what are we really doing here? Do they have a chance? And what will you give me for this? Evan, this has been my one constant throughout the offseason for the San Francisco 49ers, and it's the signing of two former players that you said bye-bye to. You said for whatever reason Greenlaw is over here, and the same with Debo. I just don't feel like that talent train has moved along smoothly for you to do a U-turn, and things have happened, and you double back and bring those guys back, and then we're supposed to expect, and I'm going to ask you, do you? I was Greenlaw's biggest fan, but is it fair for me to expect him to be the Greenlaw that was, you know, causing havoc before he got hurt in the Super Bowl? And the same with Debo. And I have an example of Debo's last year not being sufficient, and you can blame whoever, but man, to me, those dudes are back in jerseys, and there's expectations for them. How realistic is to think those two dudes are going to be able to provide what they used to?
I don't think it's wise for you to expect that. You know, Greenlaw's kind of tough, I think, just because he's been hurt so much.
Yeah, he looks – yeah, but again, he ain't playing. That's when he gets hurt. You know?
Debo played a lot last year for Washington, so I think he'll be out there. But that's why, you know, where we started the show was I just thought it was strange the way that Kyle Shanahan was talking about Stribling.
Or and, not talking about it.
Or, or kind of downplaying him. But I think that it's because it sounds like Shanahan's almost just putting Debo Samuel back into where he was.
Oh, man.
And we saw what happened in 2024 when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Debo fell off a bit. The Niners fell off. They had a bad season. It's not all on Debo Samuel, but my point is it sounded like Shanahan was, and I could be reading too much into it, but it's like he's downplaying Stribling because Debo's back. And I think if this team is going to be at its best, it's going to be with Mike Evans and DeJuan Stribling, with Debo Samuel taking a backseat. Because I think that's where he's at in his career. Not that Debo hasn't done great things as a Niner, and there'll certainly be some nostalgic aspect to him being back on the field. But if we're just talking about how to make this offense better, Stribling has to be, to me, their second most impactful receiver.
Mm. And that's a lot for a rookie, and I'm sure he can't wait, you know, to...
Well, isn't that what Debo Samuel was in 2019?
No doubt about it. And no, I didn't see that coming, and that's why I just, you know, #random. I don't know how many coaches, Evan, would have had the vision to use Debo, young Debo, the way that Kyle did and have him get to the heights that he reached. Like, I think about that all the time. So that's brilliance on Kyle's part. But you're right. That's a lot of pressure on Stribling, but he's so happy he's in a situation to where, you know, they don't got three veteran-laden, like the Rams. You know, it's going to be hard. You got Puka and Devontae. But, man, this kid has the opportunity, you would think, to make his mark and his impression early. And they'll need it. And the fact that Debo, real quick, is being used on kickoff returns or punt returns, that kind of tells you to me, you kind of protect the fine china because you don't. You remember, I don't like Debo on kickoffs. What are you doing? Special circumstances, I get. But now it's kind of like I feel like they're telling us something with him handling punts, or I expect him to handle punt returns.
So this is what Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk effectively did in their first years with the Niners. Debo in 2019 and Ayuk the year after. They averaged, and their numbers are actually pretty similar, but they averaged about 60 receptions, 750 yards, and four touchdowns. Do you think that's a reasonable expectation for Stribble?
I do. Right now, with everything that's going on, and again, I think you called him or dubbed him the number two receiver. Evan, I could see that. I would hope for, you know, and a little bit more on the touchdown side, but man.
I mean, I think that if this offense is going to take a leap, that's kind of what it has, that's what it has to look like.
Can't be your leading receiver again. He just can't.
No.
That's
no,
an indictment. Can't. He's great. He's phenomenal. But I'm like, Brock Purdy needs, like, he's got that, they got that rapport, and it's beautiful. But damn, somebody on the outside, that's a, come on now.
And I guess why I'm putting so much on Stribling is also it's funny, like these nagging injuries for Mike Evans.
I'm
worried about him.
But now, give me this. Let's double back. If you look at the Carfax report, the dude shows up. He's available.
Yeah, that's true.
But is what's worrying you now? He's getting older, and now the stuff's starting to happen, which could continue to happen.
Yeah, it's not the big stuff. I mean, he's never really dealt with anything.
But now we're talking about growing and, you know, the soft tissue stuff.
Yeah, he's had three different nagging injuries in camp, you know, and he hasn't played any football yet. If he stays healthy the whole year, I have no doubt that Mike Evans is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver,
no
10 touchdowns, and he's going to help the Niners win a lot of games. But last year with the Bucs, he could only get on the field for eight of them.
And I saw him be a warrior. Shout out to Dubs. He'd catch a ball, and then you could tell the hammy was tweaked a little bit, and he'd have to come off the field, but he made the play.
Yeah, and I guess that's why, you know, you're thinking about their first week opponent, the Rams, and their star-studded cast. Okay, so if Puka missed games last year the way that Mike Evans did, I would expect him to just go back to being Puka. But because of Mike Evans' age, I have to now wonder if that was just a blip on the radar or the norm. Same with even Myles Garrett, he's played in the NFL for a long time, but he's still relatively young. So if Myles Garrett was coming off an injury-riddled season, I would expect him to bounce back. Nick Bosa's tough because he's not super old, but it's the second ACL in his leg, and you're just not sure what kind of impact that's going to have.
Right.
I mean, are the Niners a credit? So what Steve Weiss described them as being a credit card away.
Mm-hmm.
If you assume health,
index card.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally fair.
They were a playoff team last year. If you miss me with the schedule, I get it. They were a playoff team last year, won 12 games in a hard-ass NFL league.
If you can guarantee me that the Niners get 14 to 15 games from the following, Trent, Kittle, Bosa, Evans, McCaffrey, he's right. I don't think there's any reason that the Niners can't contend for the NFC West, that they can't be a Super Bowl contender. But it's hard for me to see, especially maybe it's recency bias, Scoo, but the things that happened last year, do they just go away? You know, how much injury luck is now in their favor after getting completely destroyed by it last season?
Well, I would say this if I was at the Niners headquarters, call all the players in, get a projector and put the picture of Christian McCaffrey up and say, this is the standard. He was hurt the year before, came back and played 17 games. Not only played 17, Evan, amassed over 400 total touches. That's what type of luck they need to wear when you went down the 14-14-14. That would be a beautiful thing. And then, man, if you're telling me we're going to get the best version of the Niners, hell yeah. Well, that's asking a lot.
Okay, but let's just say we get the best version of the Niners. Is it NFC Championship game?
Could be. Like, I won't rob them of that. If you're giving me health, I won't rob them of that. I just won't.
I think 2023 is a possibility. Absolutely. Especially for the quarterback. If you're telling me that you got Mike Evans, Stribling emerges.
Yeah, Kirk Samuel, out there whenever he can go.
Christian Kirk, who knows, maybe it's DeMarcus.
Kittle.
George Kittle. Yeah, Brock Purdy can absolutely return to his 2023 form. He might be a better quarterback since then. You know, he's got a little more skedaddle to his game.
He don't get enough credit for skedaddle. The skedaddle, man. He gets out of Dodge.
Well, that's because he got hurt running last season, right? Yeah. Against Seattle.
Turf toe. Now, what if that thing – well, that's where I think they're just – nobody wants to hear this because you don't want your starting quarterback down. But I just really think they're loaded it with Mac Jones. Just how much of a luxury that is if something were to happen to Brocky.
They might. But, okay, so that's – but that's exactly what I'm talking about. So Brock Purdy has missed – let's see, the last two seasons he's missed.
Give it to me.
Two starts? Three starts? So the fact that Brock Purdy was hurt last year, I don't expect him to be hurt again this year. I don't, and he's played through pain. I think he played with a broken rib cage back in 2022. He played through injury last season after he returned.
But he missed about five or six last year, right?
Yeah, he only played nine games.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean,
gotcha.
Mac played eight of them.
Man.
Yeah, he played basically half the season, Mac Jones did. And they won five of those eight games. But I expect Brock Purdy to have a healthy season. Is that...
No, I'm with you. And
like, he's not on the if board for me for the Niners.
No, I like that. I like how you phrase that. And you know what, Evan? He shouldn't be with this new weaponry. And when you say weaponry, this young stud looks like going to be a stud in Stribling. And again, I don't got to go down the roster. Mike Evans, Debo back, Christian Kirk, George Kittle, you know, whenever he comes back, if it's week one, so, and you got McCaffrey. So I'm with you. I don't think that's a stretch at all. It's almost having an expectation damn near.
They need it. Here's something else that Kyle Shanahan said yesterday. It was about travel to Australia.
Well, here we go.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I thought this was kind of funny, and we got a few minutes left here before the break, right. So I want to get into it. Kyle Shanahan yesterday was asked about his travel plans.
I mean, I would love to just show up the day before and just play, but I'm not the best when it comes to the science and everything on that stuff. So you ask people who have done it a number of times, you ask people who study it, we take all their opinions in. We've been strongly recommended to, you know, when you got a 19-hour flight and it's a 16-hour something difference, I forgot because I haven't asked since we were making these decisions, but it's a big adjustment on the body. So the recommendation for everybody has been to tell us when to go, and it's made a lot of sense, and I know how our players feel also. I was a little bit on the fence. Science wasn't what I was reported on, and our players weren't at all. So that helped me get off the fence.
I can't tell if that's a shot at the Niners medical staff or a shot at the Rams.
Not a doctor.
Man, you got a shot that Thursday when that ball kicks off. That'll be your shot at the Rams. But, I'm confused.
Okay, let's listen to that one more time. I really just want to hear the beginning of this.
Real quick, it sounds like he kind of lightweight was interested in just going one day and coming back.
I mean, I would love to just show up the day before and just play, but I'm not the best when it comes to the science and everything on that stuff, so you ask people who have done it.
If I could do it my way, we'd be there in one day and out the next.
So who was he talking about when he said, you know?
He says, I want to be the Rams. That's exactly what they're doing.
You think he's jealous of McVay saying that?
I kind of am. Well, he and McVay are from the, you know.
Yeah, but I'm no scientist. We had a caller tell us. But my body clock, I want to get down. I want to get down there so I can have some days to get acclimated to what's going on. The time, like that, may not get off a plane that long of a flight and then go use my muscles right away. That's how you pull or tear something.
Apparently not. And maybe that's why the Niners also got a better chance to beat the Rams in Australia, because they're not taking this as seriously.
I am surprised it's only two, or you said 2.5 you last looked.
Well, what I'm surprised is that Kyle Shanahan is basically saying that our intelligent, highly intelligent medical staff, who's smarter than you, is saying that my idea, which is Sean McVay's idea and the Rams, is idiotic. So I would love to just go down the day before, show up, play the game, leave, like they do during any other football week. But their staff and the people that are smarter than him are saying, don't do that.
Regardless of the outcome, or to hell with that. If somehow they don't win this game, you don't think for both teams this will be revisited on when you got there and how you did it, do you think? Or should I just hit myself upside the head knowing Monday morning quarterbacks, they do everything?
Well, from what I've read, the one-day travel plan of the Rams for international games is a pretty recent thing. Most teams will get there early, especially if they've been playing in Europe. You know, they haven't played in Australia.
I understand that.
They've also played in Mexico, but the time change isn't as drastic. So, but what they have to deal with elevation game in Mexico City. I don't know. I just find it really interesting that the Rams are doing this the way they are. And it sounds like Shanahan, if he could have his way, would do the exact same thing.
And I can understand how you got to that conclusion.
And it sounds like there's medical experts, obviously, that are employed by the Rams who are saying, well, it's not as big of a deal as the 49ers guys are making it out to be. It's like the game within the game.
Mm.
And also, too, I do believe that the Rams will be at a disadvantage if their body clock is off. So if you're the 49ers and you don't win that football game, do we take that into account?
Without seeing how it plays out, I can't, but I could see people doing that once it's over and we find out, you know, who won, who got bad, you know, who got their ass kicked. But, man, this is why I don't like this stuff, these type of games, because now this is part of it. If they were playing in SoFi or even here in the Bay, you get here, you do your routine, and nobody questions, you know, your travel. Now we got this as the, okay. Yeah, those body, we got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that on September 10th.
I got a question on the other side for you and Kenny and the listeners. Hashtag random. I kind of threw it out last night to you. We talked about it, but I want to make sure we get to it. It's just a quick question.
Okay, you want to do that on the other side?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. 888-957-9570 is the number. Also, we got a roster to talk about. Goose pretty hot on Niang and Williams.
Well,
and apparently Steph Curry was too. He recruited him personally.
Man.
Didn't recruit LeBron, but he wanted Brandon Williams. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Gettings in for Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Back after this on Steiny Goo, all presented by the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.